May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Before I get to preaching this morning, I'd like to thank your rector, Jimmy Bartz, for inviting me to be here this morning and for the opportunity to be the chaplain at Chapel of the Transfiguration this month. My wife, Drew, and I have had a marvelous time and hope to do this again sometime. I also want to thank the St. John's staff for such a warm welcome. Is that too loud? Feels like it. Okay, good. Thank you. For such a warm welcome and making our stay so easy. And to you, the people of St. John's, for the same warm embrace. We've been coming to Jackson Hole and the greater Yellowstone and Grand Teton ecosystem for over 25 years now. And we first came to St. John's when our daughter was about 3, and this space was brand new. I think it was the year after it was built. This holy space was new then, as I said, and is a thin place between us and the holy, for us, and I'm sure it is for you too. A little about me, in case you haven't heard or seen it someplace. I'm the fairly new rector of Epiphany, Church of the Epiphany in Danville, Virginia, and I'm very glad and relieved that our leadership there agreed with me that it was important for me to honor my commitment to you as chaplain at Moose this month. And although I was born in Texas, I was raised mostly in the mountains of southeast Tennessee and have ever since felt a kinship with mountains and high places and wilderness. I've spent most of my adult life in the West, in California and New Mexico, and I imagine that Drew and I will be back West again someday when the time is right. As long as I can remember, I've loved the outdoors and wild things. And about 10 years ago, while we were living in Santa Fe, as an expression of that love and my love of the holy, I was inspired to start a new ministry, an outdoor ministry called Worship in the Wilderness, which is basically liturgical hiking. A progressive Eucharistic liturgy. For me, wilderness and nature are the first cathedrals, and you all are fortunate to live in the midst of one of the very best that there is in the world. Now for the preaching part. I don't know if this happens regularly here at St. John's, but I was contacted by a couple of husbands this week who asked that I preach on our reading from Proverbs. So ladies, get your pen and paper out and be prepared to take notes. Just kidding. I don't think I would survive another 10 seconds if I started down that path. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." To demonstrate this, Jesus took a little child and put her among his disciples. And taking her in his own arms, he said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Jesus' welcome and embrace of this little child was intended as a proxy, a symbol for all who were then and are now without standing, class, rank, or power. She represented all those who were and are considered the least of these. Understanding the historical cultural context of this lesson and that time is helpful to understanding just how comprehensively Jesus intended this welcome, this embrace, this solidarity to be. Children at that time were at the bottom with regard to social status. By some estimates, fewer than 40% of children in those days lived to the age of 16, 30% dying in infancy and another 30 before the age of 6. So very different than our 21st century first world context. While children were definitely loved and valued, they had no status, legal or otherwise, and were therefore among the least of these. Surviving to age 16 was to be celebrated, and was in part why the rites of passage into adulthood occurred around that age. At that point, children were likely to survive into what we call adulthood, and therefore could be invested with whatever status they were entitled to based on their family of origin. Very different than our experience. In this story, Jesus was saying to his disciples, and he is saying to us, using the best example that he had at that moment, that we are to welcome everyone, anyone, in his name. The overarching lesson from this story is that true greatness in a gospel-inspired life is a life of embracing the least of among us, a life that includes service to them. It is from the stories and the lessons like these that the concept of servant leadership emerged. Jesus goes on to teach that standing or greatness in the reign of God, God's kingdom, both here and now and in the life to come, was then and is today in many ways the opposite of what humanity often thinks that it is. It was not and it is not about worldly success or about being above others, about putting one's self first, but rather about welcoming and embracing and serving pretty much anybody. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus did this and modeled this for his disciples and for us in his association with the last and the least in society at that time, lepers and other unclean people, aliens, those suffering from mental illness, tax collectors, criminals, which are usually different people, and other notorious sinners. In Jesus' day, good people didn't associate with such people, and that remains an unfortunate reality for many in our own day. But this is not what God would have us do. This is not who God would have us be. God, becoming human in the person of Jesus, decided that greatness is not about separation, but about solidarity. Not about better than, but about relationship. Not about self-promotion, but rather about empowerment and encouragement of the other. We are not to separate ourselves, but rather, as our baptismal covenant instructs us, to seek and serve Christ in all persons. And if you have noticed, there is no asterisk next to the word all, with a list of caveats and exceptions. All simply means all. The word used in the New Revised Standard Translation of the Gospel we heard this morning is welcome. One of Merriam-Webster's definitions for the word welcome is to accept with pleasure the presence of something or someone. This kind of welcoming, in the way Jesus meant it, leads to solidarity. To solidarity with those who lack status by the standards of the world. Importantly, Jesus did not say to the disciples or to us to believe in this. He simply said, do this if you want to follow me. He said, in order to be a follower of mine, this is the one thing that you will do. We will uphold the weak. We will reconcile with the marginalized. We will challenge that which seeks to degrade or destroy God's creatures and creations. If we have been given power, and we have, we are called to exercise that power in service to the kingdom of God here and now, in service to others, not just in service to ourselves. We are to be stewards of that power. We are called to share that power, to use our power to empower others. This servant leadership, this stewardship of power is both individual and communal, an individual calling and a communal calling. As individuals, we can be inspired by and supported by the efforts of the community to be the servants that Jesus calls us to be. And likewise, we as individuals can inspire and support the community in our collective efforts to serve. It pleases me greatly to know that St. John's Church is that kind of community. A community that over its history has played a big part in the establishment and the progress of the greater Jackson Hole community. A list of examples includes, as you probably know, St. John's Hospital, Browse and Buy next door, the Jackson Cupboard, 122, the Library Snack Program, the Community Safety Network, your partnership with the parish in Cuba, Teton Habitat for Humanity, and likely many others that I have overlooked. As Jimmy and others of your leaders have said, serving the needs of the community is in the DNA of St. John's faith community. And also that you are a love-spreading, difference-making community. Now, for the community of St. John's, then, a gospel lesson like this is, in some ways, an affirmation and a reinforcement of who you have been, who you are, and who you are continually called to be. As the community of the world around us continues to change, as the community of this nation continues to change, as the community of the Mountain West continues to change, and as the greater Jackson Hole community continues to change, it will be important to continue to discern the needs as they emerge, change, and evolve. I know this community will do that. God blesses you for that, and you bless God for that. The challenge then to each of us here present as individuals is how to be a part of that servant leadership in the community. Each of you has gifts and abilities that can be used and are needed so that the community of St. John's Church may be all that it is called to be. Whether today is your first Sunday as a visitor or you've been here your whole life, you are needed. And you are called to find your place in the love-spreading, difference-making DNA of St. John's Church and of the greater Jackson Hole community. I might be going a little bit out on a limb here, but I would imagine that you don't even have to be a member of St. John's in order to serve in ministry in outreach here. Jesus places that small child, that homeless person, that food insecure student, that immigrant, that person working three jobs who still can't make ends meet. He places all of them among us and says, whoever welcomes, whoever embraces, whoever serves, whoever stands in solidarity with one such as these welcomes me. Amen.